This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 368. PS4 play is something completely different.
Fucking best.
Girl Gaming Tech Gadget and Anime Podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
And happy 2014, bitches.
Yeah, what she said.
But we made it.
Without the bitches. Maybe. We're not sure yet.
Totally got you guys fooled with last week's episode title, right? Totally thought we were over. We're not.
Yeah, this party don't stop, so...
Pitbull starts the party and he doesn't stop the party. Yeah.
It's going down. She's yelling timber.
Timber!
I really want to like that song, but I can't, but it's so catchy that it
is
won't
that a,
go
is
away.
Is that a Pitbull song?
Yes.
I haven't heard that.
It's called Timber.
Oh,
it's with Kesha.
Who? He,
like, performed it.
Yeah,
all
no.
New Year's. He performed it at, like, the AMAs. You know?
What?
It's going down. I'm yelling timber. It's kind of country line dance.
No.
Pitbull on. Yes. Where do you live exactly? Is it under a rock, in a cave, or...
Under the sea. Under the sea.
I did that one to myself.
Or a whole new world.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I... That's where
no.
I'd be. A whole new world, dog.
No. No. Bad. Bad panda.
A new fantastic point of view?
Stop it.
Aw, oh, damn it.
Stop it. It's 2014. We're not doing that Disney
oh,
shit.
Oh, yes, we are.
No.
All year long.
Badong. That's bad wrong. Badong, panda.
Anyway, we hope you guys had a wonderful turn of the year.
Yes, yes.
We hope you got your midnight smooch, if that's your thing.
Yeah, we hope that you got smooches. If you didn't get smooches, you got hugs. If you didn't got hugs, then you got drinks. If you didn't get drinks, you got good food. If you didn't get good food, you had good friends. And if you didn't have good friends,
what
are you doing with your life?
Yeah.
Just tell us. Email us. Maybe we can help you because...
Maybe we can hang out.
Because
maybe.
New Year's is one of my favorite times of year because I feel like it's like a reboot, right? All the stuff that you were hung up on in 2013, it's the perfect time to just let go.
To all those acquaintances that fucked your shit, fuck them. It's 2014. New year.
New
You're
year.
Gone.
New
Bye.
Start.
Bye.
Clean slate. Make it happen.
I mean, I did all those things. I had great food and great drinks and great friends and great atmosphere and great food because I made it and I got smooches from chicks and dudes.
Because that's just how panda rolls.
That's how my friends are.
I mean, that's happens at a panda party.
I didn't even host it.
I know you didn't host it.
Could you imagine if I had hosted the party?
No, I couldn't because I wasn't invited. So,
if I had hosted the party, you would have been invited by association.
Not necessarily.
For real.
No, we've been there.
Anyway.
You've had parties that were your idea that you hosted, and I, you know, found out about on Facebook.
But I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. But it's cool.
Are you talking
it's
about the
right.
supplies party?
You know what? You know what?
Because you wouldn't have wanted to go to the supplies party.
It's 2014. Party. New slate.
New slate.
New stuff.
And I'm no longer going to be a douche this year.
That's
less douchery this year
that's
from
what you
yours.
Promise, but
that
we'll
is my
see.
That is my personal resolution in life.
To be less of a douche
to
bag?
To be less of a douche to you.
Aw. Like, that's so sweet.
And it's the only resolution I have. Like, I've got gamer resolutions, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. But that's my only real life resolution, is to stop
Aww.
Being douchey to you.
I'm touched. If only it would happen. But anyway.
It's going to, I promise.
Yeah. So, with that being said, lots of, I think, renewal. Type things. Like, I am really pumped right now to be a gamer. And yeah, I said pumped. Deal with it.
Pumped.
And the reason why I'm pumped is because over my holiday break and into New Year's, I started looking at my back catalog, trying to clear it, and Panda was right. I didn't get all the way through it.
Which I told you.
I'm almost done with GTA, and I'm almost done as far as the story goes, not all the collectibles and, like, side things and community things, but almost done with Assassins. I'm, like, 77% completed
Good
with
job,
Assassins.
Good job, bro.
Yeah, I was dogging it, and I was trying real hard, and I was like, I'm not gonna make it.
Damn it, okay. Jim.
But I started looking at my backlog, and I'm like, you know what? It's actually a really cool time to be a gamer. And I got really pumped as I started thinking about, you know, even though we're in the new next gen era of consoles with the Wii U and the PS4 and the Xbox One, it's still a great time to be a gamer if you have a Wii or an Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3, because there are still some great games that are coming out for these systems. And as much as I've been playing stuff on my Xbox One, I'm still completing games and, like, excited to clear out my backlog of games that are on my older consoles. You know, when I play my Xbox 360, yes, I do see a little bit of difference between stuff that I'm playing on my Xbox One versus my Xbox 360, but I'm still enjoying and having a great experience playing the stuff that I'm playing on my Xbox 360. Like, I'm completing Assassins on Xbox 360, even though I have it for the Xbox One, because I wasn't able to bring my game save over, I really didn't want to redo all that work again. So I ultimately decided, you know what? I invested the big chunk of time. This console is still connected. I'm going to finish Assassins strong on the Xbox 360. And I'm still having a great time doing it. And it looks fantastic. And I started thinking about some of the other games that I have. You know, I have Infinity on my Xbox 360, and I'm not letting that go for anything. I'm really enjoying that experience. I'm collecting more figures, and I'm enjoying doing different things in the toy box. It doesn't feel old or dated or anything like
or
that.
Or repetitive?
It really doesn't. And that kind of surprised me, because I really thought for Infinity it would, after kind of the newness of some of the characters wore off, but I'm not there yet. And I started thinking of, you know, things that are coming, some of the things that got pushed back. I'm still excited about Watch Dogs. You know, I'm still excited about The Crew. You know, there's a lot coming on the horizon. You know, I'm even kind of excited about that Final Fantasy game that's going to be action RPG. Uh-huh. That's my kind of RPG, mm-hmm. frankly. I'm looking forward to playing that.
It's so exhausting.
You know, and so for me, the gamer horizon is still very exciting. Titanfall, holy jeebus, and crackers. Like, there's a lot coming down the pike. There's still many things that we don't know about that I'm crazy excited to play about. So it's a really cool time to be a gamer. And frankly, it's just a really cool time to be a nerd, because there's so much going on. You know, if you're into Star Wars at all, especially the graphic novels and comic books, you probably heard about Disney moving the Star Wars franchise, as far as the graphic stuff goes, out of Dark Horse, where it's been for years, into Marvel, as Disney owns Marvel. So it's a scary but also interesting thing when you think about Star Wars moving to the Marvel banner.
Yeah, just a little bit.
You know, I mean, my mind started going towards, well, does that open up what exactly? Like, the writing team over at Marvel to work on this? Are teams coming over? Like, you know, there's a lot of questions, I think, that'll be interesting to see how they're answered. I thought that Dark Horse's email explaining about
knowing
the shift was coming once Disney owned ILM and became the owner of Star Wars, they knew the writing was kind of on the wall, that they would want to move that franchise over to their in-house comic franchise publishing house, which is Marvel, which makes complete sense, and that Dark Horse had been working to stack their deck to make sure that they had great properties that they could still bring forward for people. They're not exactly sure what's going to take the space of Star Wars, really and truly, because it is so unique. You know, it is one of those franchises that reaches across demographics and age groups and
like Star Trek
to so many different people that, you know, it's hard to figure out what's going to take up really that kind of space, but they're on it and working on it. And I thought that was a classy move.
Like Star Trek?
You know, not to just be like, oh, these douches, they took Star Wars from us. And it's just a bitch move because it's all about them making money and keeping it all in-house, but whatever. Which, you know, easily could have been done by a couple of different companies that we know would kind of maybe do things like that. But I thought it was really classy of them to just say, hey, we knew this was coming. It's not a surprise to us. And we're going to roll with it because that's what you do. And we're classy. And so, yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool. But I'm interested to see what happens because I haven't kept up with a Star Wars graphic novel in a while. I always thought it was interesting how they broke down Han Solo's and Leia's kids and Luke's kid and, you know, kind of imagining the realm beyond A New Hope.
Not the Clone Wars.
So it'll be interesting to see how some of that maybe gets pulled into the movies that Disney's working on. I think that makes a lot of sense for that to all come in-house. So it'll just be cool to see what happens. You know, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy coming out.
Which they finally just released a couple of shots of our
full lineup of the Guardians.
Yep.
Which is
looked
cool.
Really fucking awesome.
And anytime you put Zoe Saldana in an action flick
and paint her green,
I'm gonna watch it. Whether she's green or not, I'm gonna watch it.
I mean, when I showed Ninja the picture, because I was like, yeah, they just released it. She's like, no way. I'm like, yeah, look at this. And I was like, she looks like a green Rihanna. Like an angrier green Rihanna. Like
she does.
She-Hulk. I thought She-Hulk was red, though. Or is she green?
Well, it depends on what when you...
Right.
Right.
Well,
because originally they were gray.
So the green She-Hulk looking Rihanna, but not fully green and big yet.
And basically the reason why you're saying Rihanna is because she's got Rihanna red hair.
Yeah, she's got Rihanna
red
hair.
So it's like She-Hulk, green She-Hulk with red Rihanna hair. Which, again, I'm okay with because I love Zoe Saldana.
I have no problems with that. She rocked it in Avatar. She's the only reason why I watched that movie.
Zoe Saldana is basically the only reason to watch Avatar.
So kudos to that.
Or you've got a massively large big screen TV. And
Ayo.
Live in Colorado and you're like, I need to watch something right now. Avatar's a good one to watch. Or if you loved Fern Gully the first time around. But
wait, she's in Fern Gully?
No, but Avatar is basically Fern Gully.
Oh, okay.
Literally, there are some shots.
I thought Avatar was Dancing with Wolves, but with Smurfs.
No, it's Fern Gully, but instead of being small,
they're big Smurfs?
Big giant Smurfs.
Big giant alien Smurfs.
Right.
That ride pterodactyl right. things.
Like, literally, the scene in Avatar. I know we're going off on the tangent already.
You started anyway, the road trip to tangent.
Seriously. And I think we've talked about this before. There's one scene. There's a bunch of scenes in Avatar that
there are so many scenes that make a movie.
No, hold on. There's like a bunch of scenes in Avatar where I'm like, well, that scene was in Fern Gully, and that scene was in Fern Gully. That's almost the actual dialogue.
Do they have the awesome, like, romantic dance in the water upside down
scene? No.
Which was also in Final Fantasy X, which was totally a lady boner for me, personally.
The one scene where I was like, seriously, guys? Are you not even trying to not be in Fern Gully?
Can't you feel its pain?
But the scene that I'm talking about is there's a scene in Fern Gully where, like, the bad guy is riding the mower because he's gonna, you know, mow over
Tim Curry's smoke thing is controlling the tree cutter thing.
Right.
Know exactly what you're talking about. Toxic
so
love.
So the big yellow thing is getting ready and is inching closer to mow down the gully. And everyone's like, no, we gotta fight it. We can band together and we can do this.
Yeah.
Okay. There's the scene in Avatar where the bad guy, who's decided, no, screw this, I'm still taking it out, I don't care what anybody says, we have to destroy them, is literally driving a big yellow machine that's going to blow the tree of life apart.
Don't fuck with the life stream, man.
And the guy, who's now fallen in love with Zoe Saldana Smurf, is like, we've got to stop him. And so, like, they're literally, like, right, it's almost, so identical. I feel like if you turn the audio off on that scene and turn the Fern Gully audio on, it would sync up perfectly.
Because is there a Robin Williams character?
Kind of.
Batty?
Kind of.
My brain is scrambled. I loved him in that movie.
All I'm saying is Avatar is Fern Gully, but with better CGI.
This tangent was brought to you by Ninja Sister. Finally, not Pandalicious, 2014.
So I'm just saying. But that being said, it's just a really cool time. I mean, great TVs are ridiculously affordable. So it's becoming easier and easier to set up.
To get sucked into consumerism.
Well, that and to set up, you know, your perfect entertaining space. You know, because the consoles that are out now are really, truly
entertainment boxes and not necessarily gaming consoles.
They are. They're more than that now. They're much more than just gaming. They do gaming really well, but they are entertainment hubs. You can get your digital streaming media and digital stream, you know, music, TV, movies. To some extent, depending upon how you wire things, you can bring your live TV through your console. You can bring another console in through your other console.
And then have that... I heard you like consoles, so you can put this console in your console.
So you can be playing consoles while you're on your console.
Holy shit!
But you can do that with your Xbox. I have my Wii U right now wired into the second input on my Xbox One. So when I want to play my Wii U, instead of having to swap out inputs, I just have to tell it that I want to, quote-unquote, watch TV, and it brings up the screen, and I can play my Wii U on my TV through my Xbox, and it's really meta. But
you are so nerd right now.
I know, it is. But it's a very exciting time. You know, you've got stuff going on secondary screens with smart glass and with PS Vita and PS4 Play and... that didn't sound right, but you know what I meant.
PS4 Play.
And the game controller on the Wii U. So
touch that touchpad interface.
So you no longer have to only control the TV when you're gaming, but you can allow other people to still watch their TV or enjoy what it is that they're doing and have second screen play or have even deeper experiences.
I love deeper experiences
on these platforms. So it's really exciting to me as I started thinking about it coming into 2014, you know, how affordable great TVs are. I picked up a fantastic new TV that I'm absolutely in love with.
And a great soundbar.
For less than a grand. For the two of them put together. And, you know, it's sub 60 inch because I just couldn't fit a 60 inch in as much as I tried in my living room.
Couldn't take it all?
I couldn't take it. I wanted the LED, but I couldn't take it. So many bad sound bites in this episode. What are you going to do?
Oh, yes, there is.
And they're all coming from me, which is totally not
Well, because you haven't really given me much chance to try to turn this tangent boat around.
Crazy excited right now.
I can tell.
You know, we've got CES that's going to be running by the time this episode hits the airwaves for you guys to enjoy, and there's just a ridiculous amount of nerdery that's going to come out of that. And so it's just really an exciting time. With that being said, we are not going to CES.
No,
we haven't been in a couple of years, mostly because in the last couple of years, at least for us, CES has become I don't want to say disappointing, but it's not very exciting. PAX East and PAX Prime are exciting. E3 is exciting.
Exciting.
CES is really, I think, one more year away from becoming COMDEX. It's just not exciting anymore. There's only so much that you can do now.
Oh my God, I'm going to CES this year.
Well, we've hit the threshold. You know, it's not like they're doing anything new with TV. They're just getting bigger.
And sometimes bigger is not better.
Not necessarily. I'm just like I wasn't interested in 3D TV, and I'm saying it now, I called it. It wasn't going to last
long.
You
were right.
Because people weren't clamoring for 3D.
People didn't want that experience. If they really wanted a 3D experience, they went to the IMAX.
Because you really want to have a much larger screen experience to really appreciate 3D. You know, depth 3D in
and
my
not
home isn't
pop
really
out
excited.
Your face 3D?
You want pop out in your face 3D. You don't want depth 3D. And I sure don't want it in my living room on a 50-inch screen. If I want a 3D experience, I want it to feel like it's surrounding me, that it's coming out and bringing me into what's going on and making
me
part of
take my
what's happening. And home 3D just didn't
can't.
Bring
I
that
don't
about.
Think you can do that unless you can commit an entire room to be like its own
and
movie theater.
And your average consumer doesn't have it like that.
Unless you got mad money.
That's why I said your average
but
consumer.
But you're obviously not listening to our podcast
not
if you've got mad
money. You're balling out of control.
Man, consumer. I'm balling out of control in my mind.
You know, so 4K, while the visual of it from things that I've seen firsthand looks great, it's not the type of great that I'm clamoring for. I'm very happy with how great my 120 hertz 55-inch LED TV looks. It's amazing how crisp things are. And I've been watching all kinds of different stuff. Animated movies, Blu-ray movies, streaming media on Netflix and the Super HD. I watched a bunch of 30 Rock, and it's just so crisp and clear, and it's a much more enjoyable experience than my previous TV, but I'm not clamoring for, well, does it get better than this? It's just not something I'm looking for, and I like to think of myself as a little bit higher than the average consumer because I'm just a little bit nerdier than your average consumer.
I would agree to that statement.
And so it's not something that I'm clamoring for, so I don't think the consumer base is clamoring for it either. At least not the average consumer. I think the people who have turned their basements into game rooms, massive ones, where they're having LAN games and, you know, making them entertainment centers or massive man caves or, frankly, home theater, really, truly home theater setups, that might be interesting to them. But, again, they're not the average consumer. So in looking at some of the things that CES was touting as the innovations that they're focused on and what they're bringing, it seems to all be around 4K, which is not a technology that anybody's clamoring for. I think we're all pretty happy with Blu-rays and how our TVs look right now.
I love my Blu-rays. All six of them.
You know, I've a few more than you, but not really much.
I only have six because I'm very extremely picky about what I want to play on my PS3. And it's not like I have a new console that, you know, any of the consoles will have to worry about playing Blu-ray on any of the other devices.
Right. You know, so I think that then you start getting into the cell phone stuff, and it's basically Android versus iOS, whether it's HTC or Samsung devices versus Apple devices, with a few other knockoffs thrown in the middle. That's kind of the war that we're left with, and I think everyone's really kind of picked their sides on that, so there's not a whole lot of innovation there. We know what Android does, we know what iOS does, and you fall into one camp or the other, or you go back and forth depending upon a device.
I don't know how people who have lived on both sides can exist. I feel like they should implode on themselves.
I think to a degree they do, and they end up picking a side eventually.
And they're just like, oh, I just left my Android to Apple and I'm so happy. Oh, I just left my Apple to Android and I'm so happy. Well, good for you fucking bi-tech-tual people.
They're
You
could
switch. They're bi mm-hmm. platforms, and that's A-okay.
Yeah, I mean,
just,
you know,
just don't be mad at me when I decide I'm going to go and get, not necessarily because I didn't change tech, I just finally became current gen in terms of my phone and got reamed about it because I have a couple of friends who believe I should have been an Android person years ago, and I can't even spell Android, let alone understand what is going on that screen. When I look at them like at Best Buy and it's just a sticker, I'm like, that is too confusing for me. I'm like, that hurts and it's not even on. Where does the battery go? What? Where does that little thing? What? No.
Just no.
Just no.
Look, it's one of those things. You either really, really love Android or you really, really don't.
I don't.
You know, and
I've never sat with one and tried to have a conversation. I get performance anxiety when it comes to certain tech. As you know, yes. Ninja, you obviously know.
I love
our dryer because it makes a cool boot up sound when you turn it on. Like, I'm like, oh, I can do anything because that was a happy boopy sound.
That's because of Zelda. That's exactly.
I feel that there's progress. But are we done on the train?
No, I'm almost done. But it's going to be very interesting. We're going to be watching what's happening at CES and talking about it. But there's really not a whole lot of draw for us, which is why we don't go anymore. You know, computers, there's not a lot of innovation. They're just getting smaller and faster. Okay, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. But not like, woo, blow my pants off. You know,
nope, pants are still on. I just looked.
There's not a lot happening in home electronics. Other than speakers are getting
louder sounding. You know, excited when their pants come off.
Yeah, boy. But, you know, sound systems are getting wireless and smaller, but with better sound. Great. Cool.
Again, so I can hear all the same things that all my friends do, but with a better quality than they do.
Not blown off again. So that's one of the reasons why we don't go to CES anymore. But there's always at least a surprise or some interesting device that pops up. So we will definitely be
like
watching.
The eye catch? You remember the eye attach?
Oh, my God.
It was a suction cup on a fucking lanyard, guys.
You remember the eye attach.
The eye attach? Get the fuck out. Yeah. Get the fuck out.
I remember that.
That is sad. Even Panda wouldn't be like, yo, guys, I have this great idea.
Or the vibrator that you plugged into your iPhone and controlled it from an app.
Like a lady pleasure?
Yes. Yes.
And that's bad because why?
Do you want to have a cable running from your iPhone in your hand that goes down under your clothes to your crotch and have to explain to people what you're doing?
Well, I don't explain to people what I'm doing when I'm not doing anything explicit.
I'm just putting that out there.
And I mean, why would you even want, why not have it be something that can just, it could be operated without there being a wire so that somebody else could push the button?
I'm sure that they decided to work on a Bluetooth model.
I'm
but
sure they did that.
Not the year that we went to CES.
would be far more innovative. Kids, don't listen to us. We are not role models.
I never said I was a role model. So anyway, we will definitely be keeping track of all the announcements coming out of CES and any of the cool stuff that we think we want to share or shareable or will just be fun to talk about. You'll definitely hear on the podcast next week. You'll probably catch in writing over on our website, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, because we're definitely going to stay on it. We're just not going to be in Vegas.
I keep thinking about vibrators and now. That's just...
Although the only interesting thing about going to CES this year would have been trying to get tickets to see Britney lip sync real heavy at her show.
Why would I want to go watch her lip sync when I could just wait a week for people who've gone to videotape it and show it?
No, because she's permanent... Well, not permanently. I think she's got a contract for like the next 2 years or 5 years or something to be the act at Planet Hollywood. So she's...
I don't give a fuck about Britney Spears. Or Lady Gaga.
Evidently, her costumes are like really cool, and she almost got.
Oh my god, a see-through nude bra with sequins.
There's like a place
you're breaking the mold.
I'm just saying, there's like a whole section where she does like this angel and devil thing, and the angel costume looks kind of cool. She's like an angel peacock.
Nope, not really.
Well, moving right along on the nerd train, couple of interesting things to talk about. One, as a couple of important people left Criterion Games this week. That was a surprise, at least to me, because I really didn't expect it to happen. But Alex Ward and Fiona Sperry have left. Not only have they left Criterion, they're straight up left EA. They are going to start their own, I don't want to say independent, because I don't know if it's going to be, like, indie, but they're going to start their own dev house.
Oh, my God. When a mommy and a daddy developer love each other very much, they find their own, like, warehouse and make their own house.
So, if you're not familiar, Criterion does pretty much, I think, some of the better, fun, non-serious racing games ever. The Burnout series, and they've got the Need for Speed series.
The Need for Speed!
Franchise for EA. And for me, I think it's really cool when people who have worked for dev houses for a while realize that they've done all that they can do at that dev house and still have passion to do something different and new, and take the step forward and the courage to leave to go and start that new thing.
I know, those two have some serious balls.
Because it's not easy, as we well know, because as you guys know, we love indies. We spend a lot of time talking with indie developers. It's not easy to start your own dev house and to build people, because coming up with resources aren't just,
hey, I've been doing this programming thing for years. I know my shit, but I don't think I'm growing anymore. I'm just going to abandon this steady paycheck and try something new. That is a scary statement to say, and I'm only kidding.
But it takes balls to do that.
It takes massive cojones.
To know that this is what you really want to do, and you have the passion and the desire to bring something new, and you're just not going to be able to do it where you are. So
you love it so much that you're willing to eat ramen and or peanut butter. And
we
peanut butter sandwiches.
Salute you when you do that. So I'm really interested to see, one, what the name of their company is, and two, what they're going to come up with, because I don't think it's going to be racing games, people.
I think
they're done with the racing.
I think they have Outrun. Yeah. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, puns. Hurt. I make them sometimes.
That hurts
so bad. But anyway, good luck to you guys, and we look forward to seeing what you bring to the table.
Yeah, I think it'll be really cool. It's like I said, interesting time to be a gamer. There are so many things going on and coming out from independent developers that are being, you know, not only lauded on the PC or the Mac via Steam, but also coming in console.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be very interesting for me to see what they do. And
how they do it. And what they do it for.
And where it shows up.
And how. And what. Well, we know what they're going to do. But we don't really know what.
We know what.
We know that something's coming. We don't know the exact when.
Something's coming. And it's
something is coming.
Something wicked awesome this way comes.
See,
I worked a little Bostonian in there.
So it's like I threw it on top. With that said, I'd like to take control of
take the mic. What you got, Panda?
Well, I want to talk about our question of the week.
Question of the week!
Because we're in the new year, and I put out a question, and I got some responses on the Facebooks.
Oh, so, what's up, Facebook?
So my question of the week last week was, what is your gamer resolution for 2014? Ooh. I don't want to know if you want to lose weight, because we all want to lose weight. We all want to be super hot and sexy.
We're all going to stop smoking.
We're all going to start smoking. I mean, stop smoking.
Wait, if you're in Colorado, you probably started
smoking. You're going to start smoking, because that's a $1 billion business
in one day. Can we just talk about that for just like a quick second?
I had a feeling.
One day sales of pot in Colorado.
$1 billion.
$1 million. And because those guys couldn't open up bank accounts because, you know, it's still federally illegal, that's cash money.
Yeah.
24 stores made $1 million in one day.
In 24 hours.
Selling weed.
That's amazing. Moving.
But it's still illegal, so don't smoke it. Yeah. Unless you live in Colorado, at which point you can.
Yep, you can.
In your home.
So, moving back to the question. So that was the question.
$1 million.
And I put out personally, and I'm going to start with mine only because that's where the responses started coming in after I had released mine.
Yeah.
I had three. And the one that really brought the most to the yard was my gamer resolution number two, which was to clear out my Xbox 360 backlog and my PS3 backlog.
Yeah, backlogs.
I don't have that many in terms of my PS3 because those are all exclusive games that they were the only reasons why I really had even invested in a PS3 to begin with. But after I'd put my backlog that I want to finish, I got some responses from our friend Christopher Reynolds.
Yeah!
Who had started his gamer resolution before Christmas, and I'm going to let this slide because you're not supposed to start it till the new year, but I understand backlogs are backlogs.
Yeah, and sometimes you just gotta jump in and
build that momentum so you can get through it. But he had to get through GRAW 1 and 2.
Oh, Ghost Recon.
Yep. And he also had to get through Dante's Inferno.
Wow.
And that's one of the ones that's in my backlog because after I saw that floppy wiener, I was kind of taken aback a little bit.
What floppy wiener?
The wiener in it. There's like wiener and titties.
Yes.
And wieners.
Yes.
And titties.
Yes.
But not always in the way that you want wieners and titties.
Right.
Kind of like Game of Thrones wiener.
Right.
Essentially. And like some of those, like the crone, the three sister crones from God of War titties.
Right.
So you're kind of like, shouldn't be getting aroused here, and I'm not. moving on.
I was going to say, if you get aroused in that game, we need to get you into therapy right now.
Then a real-life friend of mine, Christopher LeBlanc, had told me that his backlog, that's part of his gamer resolution, was some downloadable content for DMC, Virgil's Downfall, Fable 3, Assassin's Creed 2, Lego Marvel Super Heroes,
right.
And Halo 4 and Spartan Ops.
All right.
So
that's a lot.
That's a real eclectic
backlog.
Yes, it is. So I had to give him kudos for that.
Yeah, props.
And then another friend of mine had told me that he wants to get all the achievements and weapons and armor in Final Fantasy VII.
Wow.
Through Steam, because Steam finally gave him a version that's working.
Oh, okay.
So those were some really great responses. I'm going to add one more of my gamer resolutions. It was number three. So I really only have three, but they're all really big and heady, and it's going to take me a whole year to do them. But I've decided that in the year of 2014 that I want to play at least 30 new tabletop board games this year.
30 new, like, new to you? Or new like just
to me
new
completely. Like, okay. Like day one noob sauce.
Okay.
Like, I want to hit level 30 Of tabletop gaming.
So you're talking Munchkin.
No, I've already played it. Things I have never played.
Okay.
So, I mean, to push that gamer resolution even a little bit more progressive, I'd like to learn about and experience a new board game once a week and learn and play 52 new board games this year. It's seriously reaching for me, but with conventions like PAX East and Unity, which are happening,
right?
I feel like I've got, if I can get in there and just let it consume me.
So you're saying you're going to focus on tabletop when you go to PAX East this year?
I want to, because, nice. I mean, that would be a great head start for me, because as long as I go to games that I have never actually played, then...
Well, you'll discover a bunch, because there will be people there displaying their games that they're bringing. So
those are my two. I know that you actually even responded to one of my gamer resolution posts, Ninja. So,
yeah, I did. I talked a little bit about backlog, because backlog is definitely one of my gamer resolutions. And I think for gamers, it's pretty much always one of your resolutions for the new year.
Unless you complete everything and you're a boss.
Is to finish out your backlog.
I want to interview a guy who just finishes his backlog and, like, talk to him about how he feels. Because I feel like that is a renewal within itself, like a phoenix dying and rising from its flames.
But in my backlog, I have Far Cry 3, I have Assassin's 4, I have GTA 5, which I've talked about, that I need to finish. I also have DLC for Dishonored that I need to finish. So those are all going to happen. I'm going to commit to finishing those games because they're all really fantastic games. Another gamer resolution that I have is to play more sports games this year.
Wow.
Than
I've not played me.
Before. And not that I'm going to get, like, deep into
sports games. Oh, my
God,
you're totally going to start playing Madden, bro.
But I might pick up Madden.
Oh, my God, why not pick up FIFA, bro?
No. I
Goal!
Can't. I can't.
I'm being so gamist right now.
I can't do that. But I like football, so I'm probably going to pick up.
Maybe I'll get an MMA fighting game. What is it? UFC? UFC? FCU?
No, UFC.
FUC? Just kidding. Just kidding.
That's a different thing.
And
another gamer resolution that I have is to do more things on my 3DS.
Me too.
That's a big one. Because most of my casual games that I've been doing mobily have been on my iPad, and I haven't even finished Animal Crossing yet. I'm not even close to having a perfect town. I have no idea how many weeds are going on right now in my city.
I just wanted to ask with New Leaf, like, do you only have one save file in the game? Or do you have, like, multiple?
No, you can have multiple.
Well, because when you ever finish yours, I'd like to play New Leaf.
Yeah.
And I don't want to buy it.
Word. No, you can have multiple save files.
Okay.
On there. So, you could do that.
Okay.
And, like, have a city or whatever. But I need to finish New Leaf, and I need to, you know, finish paying off my loans so I can build out and have a basement now and all that kind of stuff. So, but I need to do other things on my 3DS as well. So that's a big one. And my third and final one is, and it shouldn't surprise anyone, I need to play more things on the Wii U other than just waiting and biding my time for Bayonetta 2.
You should play the Mario 3D World with the kiddies.
Yeah, nobody gave it to me. So.
I would play that with you.
So
I played it over at a friend's house, and I love the kitty suit.
I would.
I'm not a furry.
You are a furry.
I like the kitty suit and the scratching and the meow. You're a furry.
Yeah, I would play it.
I totally didn't get Neko Mimi cat ears for Christmas this
year. Yeah, you're a furry.
I totally didn't.
Nobody gave it to me, so I don't have it. But okay. I would play it if I had it. And so
Super Mario 3D World.
But I need to do more things on my Wii U. So those are kind of like my big ones. And then it's kind of like side quests, if you will. I need to do more with my Steam account. I haven't really played.
Wait, I didn't even know you had a Steam account.
We talked about this before.
Oh.
I have a Steam account. I've had a Steam account for over.
That's right, because you told me you couldn't find me because I don't go by a normal name that you know me by.
Correct. I have a Steam account. I haven't really played a lot of things on my Steam account. Mostly indie titles. But I have a Steam account, and I need to do more things on Steam.
Okay.
And maybe I might get a Steam box. I don't know. We'll to see.
But anyway, guys, thank you so much for your submissions for this Esh question.
It's a good one.
I loved hearing that I'm not the only person in the backlog boat who's not ashamed to admit that they've got a lot of gaming.
You should never
to do.
Be ashamed of your backlog, okay? If you got a job, then you're not going to finish games the way every single time.
Right.
As soon as you get them within a couple of days. And as many games that require so much effort and time, you 60-hour games, you're not going to knock that out in a week. You got to sleep sometime.
I'm still working on Lost Odyssey because I'm grinding like a bitch.
Backlogs happen. No shame in that game. Yeah, I said it.
So, moving.
2014, no shame in that game.
Moving to the left a little bit.
Oh, snap.
I'm going to jump on to a smaller subject.
Really?
It's not too big, but you had mentioned this anime before, and I finally sat down and marathoned it.
Oh, you finally did something I asked you to?
I finally did something you asked me to.
Surprise!
See, I told you I'm going to stop being a douche. I'm going to actively listen now.
Oh, that'd be really nice.
So I spent some time this week not only playing games like Mount Your Friends, Twitch, brain processing.
Nope, I've completely blocked that out from my mind. I don't know what you're talking about.
I only lasted 15 minutes, so I have to thank two of our friends. I have to thank our friend Kropotkin over from the Sausage Factory.
Mm.
He's also on Stitcher now.
Yeah.
And our friend Edie from Game Hounds and her new position.
What?
I have to thank them because they really came at me and said, "This is a game for you, Panda. You're really going to enjoy this." And I said, "It's only $1. I will buy it." And no sooner does it load, because I was wearing my cat ears that I didn't get for Christmas, and they kind of started to peek down, like, "What is this? I'm embarrassed." And I realized that it was a little disturbing in a way.
A little?
It was disturbing.
Thank you.
In a way that I haven't felt disturbed in a very long
time. Wait, I'm sorry. I said I blocked that from my mind. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, it had a very dramatic soundtrack of the same progressive, depressing sound, and
it's just wrong.
And you're a dude, and you have to move his appendages, and you have to climb this goat, and then another dude shows up, and you got to get that dude on top of that other dude.
It's a stacking game,
and the guys look really awkward, and they're dingle dangles dongle a lot in circles.
Yep,
in circles that a physical human penis could not.
No.
Do.
No.
It's like helicopter dick on steroids.
It is. That's elated.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it's like.
And I'm blocking it from my mind.
And
again.
It makes me cry.
Happy
moving back. Happy so moving back along, I was going to talk about an anime because I finally sat down and watched Watamote.
Oh, thank you.
Finally happened.
Oh my.
I did it.
Oh.
So for those who don't know.
Wait. Before you get into it, was I right?
You were absolutely 100% fucking right.
I love hearing that.
Okay. I know you do. And that's why I had to own up and tell you what the deal is. So for those who don't know what Watamote is, literally the long translation is, you know, no matter how I look at it, it's you guys' fault I'm not popular. And I love that we're in an era where anime titles are getting really, really long.
Like
I love it. Because it's the way that I think and speak. So it only makes sense that...
Oh, well then in that case, you need to watch... So I didn't become a hero.
So I reluctantly got a job.
Yes.
Yes, that's on my cue now.
It's a good one.
I love ridiculously long... When they have a point. And the whole point of that, the title being this long, is to let you know that this chick has a serious problem with not being popular. And she's placing a blame where it doesn't necessarily need to be. So we are following our heroine. Her name is Karaki. Her last name is Karaki. And she is so aloof to why she's not popular. Like, she's talked to boys, like, twice in middle school. She's played enough dirty otome games and H games to understand.
She's addicted.
She's
to H games.
Really. Like, she just likes to listen to tracks. Like, I love the intensity of where her obsession and her lust for that comes from. Like, she walks around with audio clips from games and has, on occasion, you know, recorded herself responding to some of the statements and or comments that have been said in games.
Yep.
And, you know, but in her mind, because of all this knowledge that she has through H game and otome game training, she should be the most popular person alive.
In her mind.
In her mind, she is. But in reality, she is, like, not popular. She's very antisocial.
Yes.
She barely sleeps. She has these huge black circles under her eyes because she stays up all night listening to these male voices, and who knows what she's probably doing. I think she's masturbating. But I'm not.
You think?
I think so. And her family doesn't really know what to do with her. She has like one friend in the world who, back in middle school, they were both kind of like the nerdy anime girls, which was fine for them.
Yes, they both had dark hair, and yep. So they were cabal of two together,
yeah.
And had the same likes and things like that.
And they end up going to two different high schools, and they reunite in these 12 episodes, and you find out that the other one, her name was Yu, I think her last name's Nanase or something like Yanase. And she's dyed her hair lighter. She wears really cute clothes. But she
puberty was very, very,
very good
to
her. But she still has all of her. So she's still her, even though she looks different. Like, she still loves anime and has no one at her new school to talk about these things with. So she and Karaki can still have these moments where she realizes that they're still friends, even though they're very different. And she does have this weird obsession with this new look that Yu is rocking. And, you know, in a weird way, is kind of attracted to it and kind of fights a lot of that. Or
kinda?
Tries to fight it, but
why
doesn't
do you keep
really.
Saying kinda?
She doesn't really. There was one point where she was gonna go and touch this girl's butt, and the moment just passed, and she's like, "Damn it!" And I'm like, "Yeah." But anyway, so she's going through all these things to try to make herself popular, and in her mind, she is so committed to the action. But when she tries to implement them in reality, she really does
just
not.
Fails.
She crumbles and fails and can't get the words out and comes out even creepier than she ever intended. And you could just feel how suffocated she is in her own self.
Right.
Like, she can't get out of her own way. Like, she's trapped within herself, which is an ongoing life lesson that we all have encountered at
some
point.
And what's interesting is that every time she fails, she finds a way in her mind to rationalize that it's everyone
else's
fault around
her.
That it failed.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, she's got that one friend. She does talk a little bit to her brother, who eerily has some stress lines and black circles around his eyes. But he is popular. He's a year younger than her. So I think technically he's still in middle school because she's in her first year of high school in the first 12 episodes. And he seems to, like, just miss her and doesn't really understand her behavior.
Actually, it's the other way around. That's her big brother.
No, it's not. It's her younger brother. I did my research. He's younger than she is.
But there's an episode where she talks about when they're little kids. Oh, wait. No, you're right. You're right.
Yep.
I'm getting them mixed up.
Because their names are very similar. His has an I and hers has an O.
That's what it is.
My bad. But anyway, and he's eerily very popular, active in sports, has friends, goes out to cafes with his bros. You know, and he has lost this connection with his sister, and you find out through snippets, through the episodes, that he was, like, seriously, like, in love with his sister when they were little, and, like, he's embarrassed by that, and I think it's because she's no longer the way that he remembered her.
Right.
So he's struggling with, you know, that's my sister and I love her, but she's not who I remember, and he struggles, and I think he wants to see her come out of that and revert back to the way that he remembers her, but they don't really address that tension yet, and if they go into a second arc, I feel like we're going to see more of that, which I think I'd like to see. And the way that the whole season, the first arc kind of ends, is we start seeing this popular girl whose last name is like Inase, or Ine, it's like I-N-A-A-A-E, and she is, you know, liked by everybody, and she's like the student council president, and they have a festival, and she realizes, she can see that Karaki is trying so hard to, like, be a team player and is trying to, like, try to interact with people, you know, and, like, she wants to be more friendly to her, but even this popular girl doesn't know exactly how to approach that. And at the very end, she puts on this puppy suit, this bear suit with a balloon, and finds Karaki just sitting, like, zoned out, and reaches out to give her this balloon. And as Karaki is reaching for it, she just swoops her up in this bear suit and gives her this really big hug. And you just see, like, this moment happen for this character, you know, because all she wants in this world is to connect with people. And, you know, and it
She finally gets
that connection. She finally gets a little taste of it. Because the way that they ended it is, I'm sure we're going to go into a second arc where we're going to hopefully see that blossom. Maybe to a point where she's like a dominatrix taking over the world and all she wants your attention is she's going to suck it out of you like a leech. But
it's... Well, that series just took a weird turn in your head.
It's... with this character, you're going to say that that's weird?
Yeah.
I don't think that that's weird at all. But I love it because it's coming from such an earnest place. And it's a great slice of life for a character that is not necessarily, you know, that she's definitely not a diamond in the rough. She is like a piece of coal that just has to be pressed and pressed and pressed. And maybe, just maybe, there'll be some smooth form of some kind of rock that may be diamond by the end of it. But we don't know where her story is going to go here. And they've really just set up a great character. Like, she could have been, we could have seen this from the brother's perspective and felt the same way. And I think that that just dictates great writing and great direction.
I think it's interesting. What I like most about the series is that it's the alternative slice of life, right? Every slice of life series that I've seen up to this point has always been girl either in love with a guy and he doesn't know, and they're best friends, and we've been together forever, and now we're in high school, so I'm going to take the gumption and try to work it up and for us to be together. Or it's from the guy's point of, I've always been her friend, she'll never see me as anything more. And instead, it's the almost possible hikikomori.
Yep.
Struggling.
She's very, she's a functioning, functioning hikikomori.
Okay. That is rationalizing the irrational. Okay. Their irrational behavior because, you know, she talks about how she's this bombshell and the way that she envisions herself
when
she
very has her beautiful.
Is taller than she is.
Bustier
than she is. More curvaceous than she is. More
has
outgoing.
A lighter lilt to her voice, too.
Yep. Always has a lighter lilt to her voice. Her hair is never covering her face, which it is all the time.
Like, you only ever see one eye. Unless she's envisioning herself, and then you see both of her eyes.
She's always envisioning the way that she thinks or what she really wants to appear as, but is totally, completely the opposite. You know, in her mind, because of all the stuff that she knows about in H games, she's this massive seductress, when in reality, she can barely utter words above a stuttered whisper to anyone outside of Nase,
her one friend, her friend, brother.
And her brother.
Yeah, and herself when she's in her room.
And so it's just this great, you know, juxtaposition between the self that you want to be and the self that you are that I haven't seen in a slice of life anime ever. And those are some of my more favorite types to watch.
Well, I mean, there are some series where you will get a, I don't know exactly what the genre is called, but in my mind I've always called it, I can upgrade you animes. Yeah. Where, like, you'll get an over, like, a more charismatic man who finds this girl who is just very reserved and quiet.
Like Wallflower.
Like Wallflower. Well, she wasn't necessarily quiet. She had her own way. When she was driven to perform her act, she did it. I'm talking more like his and her circumstance.
Yeah.
Which was a reversed, actually, because he was far more reclusive and withdrawn. But I'm talking about, like, Say I Love You. From him to her, or mm-hmm. to him to that one very quiet girl. You know, and then coming out on her own and learning how to socialize with everybody and not necessarily learning how to deal with, oh my god, this guy wants to put what where. Like,
so, and how does that exactly work?
Well, I mean, in a lot of those series, they never, no matter how many arcs, the main protagonist and the chick that he's fixing never actually they don't even get to first kiss because it's such a big tension because she's, you know, at that one point that light goes off in her hand. She's like, oh my god, I've never realized that all these good looking guys around me have somehow been attracted to me as a person when I just became actualized 2 episodes ago. I don't understand how to process this. Boom, new arc, you're done. And then there's another 18 episodes with nothing but filler until the last episode. He's finally like, I love you. And then that's it. Because you just assume that she said, I love you too. Take me, man meat. And that's it.
Oh, take me, man meat.
Like, it, and that's how that happens all the time. But I mean, Like, I'd love to see, because every time in Watamote, like, there seems to be a hint of a possible guy. For one, the guy is never overly attractive. Right. Like, she will build up all these fantasies of, like, a simple interaction with a dude. Like, hey, we both had to stay after school because we didn't do art because we were both sick. And that guy was, like, a bigger guy with glasses. Kind of like the chick from Genkenshin's second season.
Yep.
That's neither here or there.
Yeah. Well, it was here and there.
Or.
Kind of.
Yeah. Or, you know, a guy, like, helped her pick up something, and then she's like, oh my god, we had a conversation, and we connected, and he's gonna be at the same place that I go to every day, and.
Basically, her reactions are like this. She meets a guy, and he does something simple, and she's like, he wants to do me. I'm gonna get the D. It's gonna happen. Oh my god,
three guys talked to me today, and it's not because I had ants crawling all over my body. That was an eerie episode for me, only because I'm like, how did she not feel them? And I'm like, I'm sure she had bite marks. She's like a dirty hoe because half the time she never bathed.
No.
Like, she's like, I didn't bathe today.
She's the smelly kid. She's like,
I don't have to bathe. Dudes want the V.
Yeah, nope.
They want this V right here.
Nope.
And I'm not even talking the Mighty Ducks V, okay?
Nope.
I'm talking about.
Nope.
But anyway, and it has a great opening song. And we know that I'm a big fan, you know, because opening songs, when they're done right, will set you up for your series.
They do. They set the pace.
And if they tease the right way, you should be able to make the right conclusions, generally. Because, I mean, I've been doing this for years. So, like, I can see an opening and already tell you what the first two episodes are going to be about. But that's just because I'm a boss that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, you give me the opening segment of an anime. Give me the opening song with the opening cinematic, and I will tell you what the first two episodes are about. And I will be 90% right.
Really?
Yep.
Because you didn't peg Attack on Titan.
It's, okay, so Attack on Titan.
No.
Because I is generally right, but that arc sweep. About, you know, that whole Annie bit, and I'm going to stop right there because there's a whole lot of people who haven't watched this series, and I don't want to ruin it for anyone. But that was not a foreseeable thing in the first opening song, because they changed it because of the second arc, and the second arc opening clearly dictates all that stuff. So you can't go off of an anime series that has multiple opening songs.
But everyone seems to be doing that now. After the first arc, they changed the song.
Well,
and that's how
now
you know when the new season has been upon you.
And they have to do that. But because Attack on Titan has such a magnitude and has a great opening for story, they can't put a synopsis in 1 minute, 12 seconds of audio. Mm. They couldn't do it. There's no way. Like Psycho Pass did it.
Wait. But I challenge your point, because the opening for Arc 1 absolutely set you up in 1 minute and 20 seconds.
For the first arc, but not for the whole thing as a whole, which is why they had to do two opening songs.
It's not that they had to do. It's just everybody's doing now a new opening every time they have a new arc to let people know visually that, hey, you're in the new season.
Yeah.
Okay? Every series is doing
that
now. But
I guarantee that if anybody this week, and I'll even put this up there on a Facebook page. What? I'll put it up there. You drop me the opening segment of a series, and I will tell you what the first two episodes about without even watching it. And if I'm wrong, which I'm not saying that I'm not going to be to some degree. I'm saying I'm going to be in the realm of a 90% correct. But if I'm under 90%, then you can rag on me for the next 2 months. And I will take it with a half-cocked smile on my face.
I'll do it.
Half-cocked?
Half-cocked.
Like, right. You're right, I'm an idiot. One of those. I'll do one of those for you.
That sounded kind of half-hearted, not necessarily. All right, you know what? Stop. This podcast is going to go someplace it doesn't need to go if you keep doing that.
Yep, that was a bad audio clip. But that's what I have been doing. Is there anything else you want to add, my dear sister ninja?
Well, we're getting close to time, so I'll try to keep this short. On my end on the anime stick, I've been watching a bunch of different series all over the place. I've talked before about Outbreak Company, and I finally finished that arc, but one that I picked up completely by accident and then fell in love with and had to watch both arcs that were, available.
Was it Maggie?
Yes.
Okay.
Stop reading my notes over my shoulder.
Sorry.
You said you were going to be less of a douche.
That wasn't very douchey. I didn't take over and tell everybody what Maggie's about.
Okay, well, so you didn't go full douche on that. You just went half douche.
I went, like, 2% douche.
No, you went, like, 4%. 12%
No, douche. It wasn't 12.
Yeah.
But anyway, tell everybody about Maggie, because I actually have not watched it.
All right, so Maggie the Labyrinth is the full name of the anime series. And I'd seen it in Crunchyroll a couple of times and kind of went past it, because the artwork for it didn't really, like, scream, hey, ninja, this is one that you're going to love. So I basically skimmed over it and skimmed over it and skimmed over it and watched pretty much everything else that was in Crunchyroll until I finally was like, ah, you know what? I'll check it out an episode and see what happens. Because for fantasy animes, if they go too far-fetched on the fantasy, I just can't enjoy it. I don't care what the story is. I can't wrap my brain around it and have fun with it.
And how did you get through the mythical library of the Bibliotheca D'Artagnan?
Because that's really... D'Artagnan.
I always call it D'Artagnan.
The mythical bibliothèque. D'Artagnan?
D'Artagnan. D'Artagnan.
No, D'Artagnan.
The Bible princess anime with the three chicks that are apparently libraries.
They are libraries.
Do you know how hard it was to try to get Eshmom to not want to watch that? She's like, they look so pretty. I'm like, you are not going to get... And, like, literally every 2 minutes, she was like, can you pause and explain to me what's happened? I'm like, okay, this blonde dude just inherited this house. And he thought he was going to go there and take care of this pet that his granddaddy was like, you need to take care of this pet. Sure enough, it's a bitch. But she's not really a bitch because she's, like, a person, but not really a person because she's a librarian and she holds all these phantom books. What are phantom books? All right, pause. It's like this magical spell thing that humans are not supposed to know because when it does, it drives people insane. Well, then why does it collect them? Because he's already insane and he's dead. And, I mean, there was just, I could not. And, like, the next day she was like, are we going to watch more? I'm like, no, because my mouth hurts. Because I have to stop and tell you what's happened in each episode. And she's like, well, they don't make sense. I'm like, because they're all vignettes that are going to lead up to the, I can't do this anymore. I love you, but I can't do this anymore.
You have no patience.
Not anymore, I don't.
Oh, your poor children. So, anyway.
I'm not having children.
Yeah, you are. So, with that being said, Maji is about this little Maji.
Is that a magician? A sorcerer? Motherfucking sorcerer?
Sorcerer.
Okay.
More like it.
Is it a female?
No.
Is it a boy?
Yes.
Okay.
Aladdin is And Aladdin is a young, blue-haired little boy. And he's very lonely.
Does he keep one jump ahead of the hitman?
No, shut up, listen.
One swing ahead of the sword?
So Aladdin...
Is he the only one he can't afford,
is
which is
very,
everything?
Very, very sad and lonely. He doesn't have any friends. He has no recollection of his family. And befriends, what we come to later know, is a djinn.
Which is a genie.
Yes, named Yugo. And they become fast friends, and Yugo decides that he will stay
with
Aladdin
like him.
So that you're Aladdin really? Will never be alone, but lets Aladdin know that he's never going to be alone.
You and so are not alone.
Sets out on a journey.
I am here
and comes
with
across
you.
This guy named Alibaba.
Oh, God.
And Alibaba.
You're killing me.
In the town of Baobab.
You're suffocating me.
Is not a thief. He's not a bad guy.
But he's not a great guy either?
Kind of, sort of wants to be a good guy, but he tries to stay out of things and is really trying to just make a way in the world. And so if that means that he has to work for a slave trader, he does it. He doesn't enjoy it, but...
So he's got strong convictions, but doesn't care the consequences from whatever he gets.
He's got strong convictions, and he cares about the consequences, but
he's still going to do it because
he's
it's what
not
he wants.
Self-realized.
Ah, all right.
So he goes along.
He's like, I'm totally going to do this because it's going to lead me to my goal.
And Aladdin ends up acting as his conscience a lot.
Oh, God. So it's like Pinocchio
simply,
meets Aladdin meets One
no,
Piece?
No, but by simply asking a question to Alibaba that makes him think and pulls him out of this stuff. And so Alibaba and Aladdin eventually become friends. And in the world, what we learn is that Alibaba is actually the third prince of Baobab. And he's a bastard child.
Ah, so he's not full royal
blood.
He
grew up in the slums with his mom and with his best friend. And as you go deeper into the series, you realize, you know, the slums just ain't no place, ain't no way for a child to grow up.
They could warp you.
And so the area is falling into war and famine and poverty because the biggest empire, the Ku Empire, they have a lot of people that have captured dungeons. And if you capture a dungeon, you capture the djinn that created the dungeon, so you get to control
that
their magoi, or their power.
Magoi!
To a degree.
Okay.
And in order for you to use that power, you use magoi, which is...
magoi!
Which is a power that is sourced by Rook, which is basically
which is light. Small, cute, and furry, and you don't feed it after midnight.
No, they're little light or dark, depending upon whether you're light or dark. Butterflies. Magi is a kingmaker, basically. A sorcerer who will pick a leader to be the king.
So it's like devil versus realist.
Yeah, kind of. So, you go through all this stuff and find out that Aladdin is a very, very powerful Magi. But there are dark Magi and dark djinns. And it's a very interesting anime because it starts to get very deep. It goes into classism and it goes into really truly good versus evil and the gray space that lives in between. And it examines some of the things that can drive people to become the way they are and whether or not if an obstacle pops up, do you have what it takes inside you to rise up and meet it?
It's a big analysis on nature versus nurture.
It is. But done very cutely and very sweetly. You know, there's a girl that they end up freeing from being a slave who was beaten and tortured and all kinds of other things.
Oh, that poor girl.
And she starts realizing that she can have things and starts moving out of the slave mentality.
I can have feelings.
Yeah, but
if I want to have an apple, if I work hard, I can have
one. But it's also beautifully done. The action sequences are fantastic. There are fantasy transformations when people are able to control their magi. They have a full body transformation, and then they can fight. You got Sinbad in there, and as the king of Sindria in the Seven Seas.
Sinbad, Sindria.
Yeah, he's the nation Sindria.
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, a bunch of people who've captured a bunch of dungeons. And big fights and magic and a little bit of love and a little bit of conflict. And
I love some blood, sex, and intrigue.
But it's really, really enjoyable. There's enough emotion to action to fantasy as far as the mix goes.
Fantasy comes true.
That's a very enjoyable series. So there are two seasons right now that are on Crunchyroll because we're in the second season. It's the one that's currently being simulcast. So you can watch the whole first arc and then in a marathon session and then marathon up into the current episode, which I think is like on 10 on the current season. So we're just getting ready to finish
this arc. How many episodes were in the first arc?
12.
Okay.
So it's a typical 12.
So we're probably getting 24 or at best 26 out of this
second arc. Depending. Probably going to get 24 and a couple of ovas.
Okay.
But it's very, very interesting. And like I said, it's also beautiful. You know, Aladdin is very childlike.
Do you start to see him mature as he goes through? Like, is it like a God without Sundays without God?
No, he doesn't mature as much as he basically gains wisdom.
So he learns the life lesson and moves on?
Kind of.
It's like Lassie. Timmy stopped falling down the well. Eventually, Timmy will just stop going near the well.
Exactly. But Magi, the Labyrinth, I'm really enjoying it. I highly recommend it. You can watch it on Crunchyroll. I believe that it's on Hulu Plus as well, so you can pick it up there. Definitely give it a look. You'll know within the first episode whether or not you're going to want to watch all of it. It's one of those, right within the first 5 minutes, you know whether or not it's for you.
It's polarizing.
Nah, not polarizing. It's just that you know.
Well, that's what polarizing means. Either you like it or you don't. Like, it has that effect on people.
Well, I don't think that anybody would be like, oh, this is utter shit.
Oh my God, I totally can't watch this.
You'll know right in the first episode whether or not you're going to want to watch every other episode that comes after it. Or if you'd be like, oh, that's okay, but I'll come back to it later or something like that.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. So it's not really like a polarizing, oh, no, get that away from me. It's not like...
don't put that in my face.
Don't throw me in the briar patch. Oh, wait, no, throw me in the briar patch.
Say welcome to Downton Abbey. To me.
But you're not gonna, oh, yeah, I just did that. You're not going to have that kind of reaction to
okay,
it.
Okay, fine.
So that's one that I'm watching, and I think I'm actually going to start watching a couple of new series that just popped up on Funimation, because I like the anime, and I don't have the Mario game to play right now, and so I have to do something when I'm not raping and pillaging on the high seas.
Oh, I was about to say, when I'm not raping, I'm like,
why raping and pillaging on the high seas in Assassin's Creed.
Right, right. Oh, no, raping and pillaging not so much on with the high seas.
Well, there's no raping. There's just pillaging.
Just pillaging
really.
And whale killing.
It, oh, man. I kill the shit out of whales. I beefed up my harpoons and my boat. I take killer whales down like a pro. So, you know, that's what you got.
Them's the breaks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, hopefully, I should this week be able to start taking on legendary ships, make that mad real money. Because I have beef up my ship, so I need dough. That's what I got.
All right.
Maji, great time to be a gamer. Tech is cool.
Watamote.
Watamote.
Well then, since... that's good. I should probably tell everybody what the next question of the week is.
That's right.
So, everybody, this week, the question of the week is...
can you say it in a way that they'll understand
Do you think that 2014 is it the era of indie consoles? Because we know that Valve came out with the Steam Box.
Well, they've done their alpha release
saying, so we're seeing a break from traditional consoles with the introduction of, you know, the Steam Box.
Well,
it's
not
alpha.
A traditional console break. It's just that we have a new player.
We're seeing people
a
stepping
up. A new player
up.
Has arrived.
We're seeing three. Well, really, not only one's really a contender, really. But the Steam Box, the Oculus Rift thing.
And Ouya.
And the Ouya. Because yep. We're seeing these rise up. From the cream.
The rise of the independent consoles.
Do you think that it's now time in 2014 for this to take over and be the thing?
Is it the era of indie?
Yes. Is it the era of indie? So let me know. Put it on our Twitter. Put it on our Facebook. Put it over on the VOG where you can participate by leaving your response there. And you'll, you know, if you do that, you'll get some seconds of fame on the show next week.
Yes, because... everybody wants to hear their name said on the internet.
I wish I could hear my name.
It's the one thing I hated about Romper Room. That bitch never saw me. But whatever. You know what? It's cool. I didn't
That's
need her
right.
to see me.
He would say my name, and then there'd be a blonde bitch next to me, and I know she was the Amanda he was talking about.
Aw. That's cool.
I know, dog.
That's so cool.
Which is why I want to rename myself.
No.
Why
no.
not?
No.
Why?
No. What? Nope.
I had a great...
Nope. All right. So like she said, you can engage with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Landavesh, to answer that Landavesh question, as well as check out all the stuff that we're writing about. We share links there on our page. You can ask us questions. Let us know if there's something you want us to check into. Like if there's a series that you know about and you're like, hey, you guys should totally play this because I'd love to hear what your opinions are. Or you should totally watch this because I'd like to hear your opinions on it. Or hey, this is just a cool thing. Have you seen this thing? This thing is like amazing. Then you can share it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Landavesh. You can also hit us up in the same way on Twitter, @ESHNews on the Twitter, twitter.com/ESH News. We're very easy to find there. You can also engage with us and participate, like Panda said, with the podcast over on the VOG Network at VOGNetwork.com. Hit up our page, leave us questions, comment on the podcast posts, whatever. We check, we're there. It's cool. That's what's up. But you can check out all the articles and reviews that we do over at our page at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You can always get the podcast in the iOS podcast application, the iTunes application on your computer or the Microsoft Store by searching for the Eshcast or Electric Sisterhood. You'll find us. Can't miss us. Make sure that you subscribe so you get new episodes when we put them out. We typically let those mofos fly on Monday, but you can also engage with other shows from the Esh Network like No Borders, No Race, which goes out on Tuesday, held down by our homeboy King Bibby Duck. It's all about culture, music, indies. It's cool. Make sure you check it out.
And then on Wednesdays, you got Geek Aggro bringing you the hottest in trap, EDM, and another awesome nerd music.
And that's why Panda shouldn't jump in.
I just wanted to feel included. But Geek Aggro is awesome, bringing you fresh beats every week.
Yup. And it's going down on January 11th. Deuces Wild, our homeboy at Geek Aggro, is going to be spinning, mixing it up at Mixify Live. Make sure you hit our page and, you know, RSVP to the event. Check it out. It's going to be bonkers.
It's going to be ballin'.
Then on Thursday, brand new episode, the Issues Guys program. Call in. There's a number. Share your issues, because if you got issues,
he's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. It's a good time. And for the rest of the week, like we said, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're up in your tubes, we are on your internet, all your base are belong to us.
I was on your mom.
What? Get off their mom. But not cool, Panda. Not cool.
She asked for a hug.
No, not cool. Not cool. With that, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We'll catch you guys next week.
This was a great start to 2014.